Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kingdom. We're certainly happy to be back in the midst of God's people today, and I thank God for what he's doing each and every day. Today is Thursday, June 4, 2015, and God's kingdom assignment for you today is bless those that curse you. You know, God was giving me that, it's really something because I think this is probably one of the hardest things that we are able to do, is bless those that curse you. The base scripture is Luke 6 and 28. The scripture, according to King James Version, is bless them that curse you and praise them which despitefully use you. And all God is saying is that we are to always move in love, act in love. So love your enemies. And if you look at the context, if we go back to verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. 28 says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And 29 says, whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. You know, God is just wanting us to move in love, act in love, do as God would do. You know, we have the saying, what would Jesus do? Well, that's what Jesus would do, and he did it. So we have the greatest example on earth. We have the greatest example in heaven. And, you know, we ought to be following that example. God is so awesome that he would visit us at this time. And I think this is so timely because we have, you know, the flesh that is just intervening. The flesh is moving. Just the flesh is taking over. And we have to learn this lesson. We have to be grounded in faith. We have to be grounded in love, and it'll make, you know, blessing our enemies and loving our enemies and praying for our enemies easier. We've got to learn how to do that. I think it's the greatest lesson. It's a lesson of love, a lesson of forgiveness. It's a lesson that, you know, if we take it seriously, you would live a better life. You just live a life of peace, and we'd be content, and we wouldn't let things bother us. You know, we hold so much against people, and we hold it for years. I can remember one time I had seen this person. I had not seen them in years, and I remember the first time seeing them after years, that once I laid my eyes on the person, these feelings started coming back, and they were feelings of anger and feelings of just, you know, I could tell that these feelings had been there, bitter. And the sad part was I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember why I felt that way. I couldn't remember why I felt the way that I felt because it had been so many years. And I just couldn't remember why I was angry. All I could remember is that, or all I could feel and think was that the last time that we saw each other, that there was something that happened that was bad that caused those feelings to set in inside of me. And then, you know, looking at that person again after many years brought those feelings back to the forefront. It was at that point that I realized, you know, all these years I had carried those feelings and harbored those emotions. And, you know, and then to have it come back up and not be able to remember why, you know, I thought, oh, my God, this is, you know, unforgiveness. And at that point, I made it a point to just kind of take into inventory all relationships that I have, personal, business, whatever that relationship may be. However, you know, I am fellowshipping with that person. And to ensure that I would not go down a path of many, many years, again, harboring feelings or emotions that, you know, really didn't do me any, didn't benefit me at all, didn't do me any good. And so I'm just, you know, thinking, okay, we've got to make sure that we're not carrying those feelings and that we're not bitter. You know, emotions allow you to make decisions. They alter your decisions. They alter your mood. They frustrate you. They send you down a path of just emotional discontent. And so we've got to make sure that we're not, you know, harboring these feelings for, you know, our enemy. We should always move in love. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. When you learn to do it, oh, my God, you know, now you're not bothered by things that people do to you. I was talking to a young lady just the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, this certain person just kept picking at her, picking at her, picking at her. And, you know, I have to constantly remind myself as well as others that the enemy doesn't have any new tricks. The enemy only has new vessels. And so we've got to always be alert. We've got to always be, you know, in discernment. We got to discern, okay, here's the enemy picking at me again. And, you know, God, one night I was driving home and God told me, he said, if we could look at people more from a spiritual perspective rather than from a fleshly perspective, then we would be more readily available to forgive. And we would respond differently. And I thought about that. And I said, you know, God, yeah, okay, I hear you. You know, because if a person is picking at you and a person is doing things towards you, and if you can see that person for a spirit that they are allowing to be used by to get at you rather than them doing it in fleshly, then it becomes more of a, this is a spiritual thing. That vessel is just being used to poke at me, and it's not really the person themselves that's doing it. It's the spirit that they're allowing to use them. Then you respond differently. You don't respond, you know, from a fleshly manner. You've got to respond more from a spiritual manner. And, you know, that's what God is saying. Love your enemy. You know, you can, once you see it that way, you begin to rebuke and bind that enemy, bind the spirit, pray for the spirit, intercede for that vessel. And that moving in love, that is working in the love that Jesus gave us as a gift. It is loving your sisters and brothers in spite of. And, you know, we've also got to learn that we don't have to fight for ourselves. You know, that was one valuable lesson that I had to learn is I don't have to fight for myself. When people, you know, they do things or they allow spirits to use them to do things towards me, now I just look to the Father and I say, Father, you see what is going on, and I give it to the Father and I move forward. Now, I'm not perfect. Because, you know, it just depends. You know, sometimes you get caught off guard and you decide to take things in your own hands or whatever it may be. But we, you know, we are not to do it that way. We are to look to the Father and we are to get guidance and instructions on how to handle a situation. In fact, we are to give it to the Father and trust in God and allow him to handle it, because no one can handle it the way that he can handle it. God handles all situations for us. Remember, he provides everything for us. He is our source. So we are to look to him for all things, even in situations like this. So, you know, Jesus came on this earth, and he was the ultimate example. Everything he did in the Bible here on earth, it was done in love. Even, you know, I was talking to this young lady, and I was saying, you know, we dwell on the things that we're going through here on earth. Nobody went through what Jesus went through. And so we've got to stop dwelling on situations, because Jesus paid the ultimate price. You know, we dwell on things that people do to us. What if Jesus dwelled on the things that the people did? The same people that he died on the cross for to deliverance and salvation are the same people that persecuted him, that beat him, that crucified him. So, I mean, you got to look at that. And Jesus died. He knew what his purpose was. His purpose was to come here. He knew what his purpose. And he never took his focus off of the purpose in spite of what the enemy was trying to do to him. And the enemy came at him, you know, all times. So if Jesus can be the ultimate example for us in our lives, then we can, too, live the same life. We can live a life where even though we're being persecuted, even though we're being mocked, even though we're being, you know, we're being mistreated, we're being abused, God is our deliverer and God is our vindicator. So we have to understand that we can no longer take things in our own hands. When we gave our lives to Christ, we gave our lives saying that we would study, get in that word and pray, and that we would be made or re-transformed into God's image, which is the image of love, the image of patience, the image of tolerance, the image of endurance. And so we've got to take the tools that God has equipped us with and begin to use them practically, so that we are working in love, we're working in faith, we're living in peace, okay? You know, you should never let anyone frustrate you to the point or get to you to the point where your peace has been destroyed, your peace has been taken. Let God fix it. Let God fix it. Let God comfort you. Let God do what needs to be done. Sometimes what people are doing, you know, it can be used for your good. Sometimes if a person is, you know, for example, if you're on your job and someone is really, really, you know, bothering you and they've got it, made it to the point where you can't hardly come to work, you can't hardly, you know, it could be that position that you're carrying right now at that job is not where you're supposed to be. Maybe that vessel is being used and being allowed to do the things that they're doing to get you to the place where you need to be, to get you into promotion, to make it uncomfortable for you so that you can take the initiative and begin to look for another position, begin to look for another opportunity, and, you know, pushing you to your next level. Sometimes God promotes us to a level, we get comfortable on that level. And because we're comfortable, we don't look anymore, we don't seek God. And you got to understand, when God put us somewhere, it's for an assignment. And so sometimes we stay even after the assignment is over. But we've got to have great discernment in when the assignment ends. And so, you know, we'll stay and we'll be comfortable. And God never meant for us to be comfortable. God never meant for us to be there for an extended time past the assignment. And so some things are allowed so that it can get you to a place to where you're not comfortable, you're not content. It can take you out of your comfort zone and allow you to be pushed, kicked to the next level. because you're not comfortable here. So now you go in search of comfort. You go in search of other things. If you were content, then you wouldn't even bother looking. So God allows things to happen so that you are moved and pushed to your next level. And God is so awesome that he knows exactly what we need. That's why we should always put our faith in God. No matter what's going on, we got to understand and trust that God is going to take care of things for us. God is going to do it for us. He may not do it when we want to, but he has his own set timing. And we are to trust God even for the timing. Sometimes God is trying to give us things and bless us with things, but it's not the time. Because if he blessed us right now, we wouldn't know how to be receptive. We wouldn't know how to be good stewards. And so God is, he has to take us through a process. And sometimes that process involves forgiveness. That process involves endurance. That process involves patience. That process involves long suffering. And, you know, God is just waiting to see if you are willing, because being willing and available doesn't always mean that you're willing and available to go and touch and bless someone. You're to go and teach someone. Willing and available says that you are available and willing to go through the process and pass the test. Because God has to build you for whatever level he is trying to get you to. And I would admonish you to start thinking of these trials and tribulations as tests, as building points, as building blocks for you. And when you begin to see it in that format, then you are more welcoming of it, because you know it is building something in you, and it is great to have great discernment as to what it is building. When God was taking me through and building me in my faith, initially I didn't recognize it and understand it, but then God brought it back to my remembrance that I was praying and asking him for more faith, and that's what he did. He took me off of my job, and he put me in a situation to where I couldn't do anything but trust him. For all things. Initially, I was like, oh, my God, what just happened? I lost my job. I don't have a job. I don't have this. I don't have that. And, you know, I just began to just think, meditate, figure out what was going on. And God brought it back to my remembrance. You asked me for faith. And so I'm answering your prayers. So it may not always be in the way that we need it or that we're looking for it, rather. And so God is building us. And, you know, when you figure out what God is doing, it is in your best situation. It's in your best interest to go ahead and pass the test, to go through the process, because if you don't go through the process and if you don't pass the test, God's going to test you again. That's what happens in school. If you don't pass, they do give you an option to be retested. But, you know, there's no option in the kingdom. God has to have you built to in a certain way before he can take you to the next level. So you must pass the test. It is a requirement that you pass. And God is so awesome that he will have patience with man to give us the test. And if we fail, give it to us again. You know, until we are able to pass it. We're the ones that lose time and we, you know, waste time and, you know, just waste all energy and all kinds of things because we can't, you know, we make it hard. God is building us, and that's all God has done from very creation. If you think about it, God created. He didn't tear anything down. He created. That's to build. That's to plant. And he is building us every day. And so we should be looking to build. We should be looking to grow. You know, that's the problem with some of us is we're not looking to grow. We don't want change. We think change is bad. Sometimes change is the best thing for us to get us out of a situation and into a new situation. We've got to be readily available to accept and embrace new things. Accept and embrace new things. How can God bless you with a new car if you're not open to accepting it. That's like you buying a gift for someone and they're not, you know, oh, you bought me this gift? Oh, I don't want it. Oh, you didn't have to do that because I really didn't want this gift. That means that they're not receptive of the gift. How do you think that that would make you feel? Your father wants to bless you and give you things. Your father wants to just, you know, he wants to live by, he wants you to live by his promises. You cannot even live by those promises if you're not willing to be, if you're not receptive and you're not available and you're not willing. You're not, you know, you're not, here I am, God. I am ready, available to be used by you. Can't just say it. It has to be a heart condition. That means that you have to be sold out for Christ, sold out for kingdom, so that God can use you in whatever assignment he may use you in. And that doesn't just require you staying at home. It sometimes requires you going out. It requires you sometimes traveling to different places because God has his people stationed all over the world. And there are people all over the world that need to know God, that have a thirst and hunger for what God is putting in you, the word, and so and the truth. So God is ready and he's available to use you. You need to be ready and available to be used by God. And so today it says, let's act in love. Let's move in love. Let's bless those who curse us. Let's pray for those who misuse us, mistreat us, you know, and I think that is one of the hardest things to do. But we've got to learn this lesson. We've got to pass the test before we can move forward. We've had a lot of people that have done things to us in the past. You've got to let it go. You cannot move forward if you're still harboring on things that happened to you in the past. Let those things that happened to you be learning moments. I call them teachable moments, which means that it teaches you something. It teaches you to pray more. It teaches you to get in that word. It teaches you to forgive. It teaches you to love. You know, if I had never been abused as a child, I wouldn't know how to be a mother. You know, sometimes you got to take these situations and learn how to be, let it be that thing that teaches you, informs you, and molds you. You know, if you grew up in a home where you didn't have a father, I see most men that when they grow up in homes without fathers, they turn out to be very good fathers because they knew what it felt like to not have a father in the home. They knew what it felt like to not have the support of a male. They knew how important it was to have that, the need for that role model. And so they grow up and they become really good fathers to their families. They're there. There's a male in the home. There's a male that's present in the lives of the children, and there is support. Same thing for women. If you grow up without a mother, even without a father, you know, we've got to learn to lean and trust in God for all things. God will teach us what we need, and he'll be our all in all. He'll be everything that we need in our lives. He is our father. He is our mother. He's our parent. And if you look to him and you ask him, you pray to him and you seek him, he can be found. And he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And so you've got to understand that God is everything. You know, sometimes it's a hard concept to grasp, you know, and it takes time. But just, you know, if you get in that word and just meditate on that word, and you meditate into that word, dwells in your heart, and it becomes a part of your living, you know, you'll see your life transform right before you. That is the manifestation of God. I truly thank God for you allowing me to be here on this platform this morning. God is in the midst. The Holy Spirit is moving about. Don't be caught missing God. Don't miss God because God is here. He dwells here with us. He dwells in us. And I'm just thankful. I thank God for your listening ears this morning. Take the assignment and use it for you, and also help your sisters and your brothers. So we are to bless those who curse us, pray for those who misuse us or who despitefully use us. Bless those who curse us and pray for those who despitefully use us. It didn't say get even. It didn't say take vengeance. We are to seek God. God says vengeance is mine. The scripture says vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. So we are to be found staying in our lane and playing our role, and let God play his role. And even the enemy uses those people to curse you and to despitefully use you, and believe it or not, they have a role in this as well. And that role is to help move you, help build you into what God would want you to be built, and also for the purpose and plan that God has for your life. So we got to start looking at things differently. We got to see it from a different perspective. It will help us spiritually and naturally, for God is love. So I admonish you to move in love, work in love, and just dwell in love. Be blessed.